The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon and welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community. Your host is Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community. This hour is designed to inspire, inform, and to help you live better with cancer. Now, here's your host, Kim Tibaldo.
Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer, an internet radio show that focuses on informing and inspiring people to live well with cancer. I'm Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community. The Wellness Community and Gilda's Club have united to become the Cancer Support Community, one of the largest providers of cancer support in the United States and around the world. Our services are offered at more than 100 locations worldwide and online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. Now, if you don't already agree with me that boxer Danny Jacobs' story will make the list of the top 10 most memorable moments of 2014, you will by the end of this show. Who can forget the image of Danny standing in the ring, hands raised in victory, cheered on by thousands at the Barclays Center, having just become the WBA middleweight champion? But this alone is not what makes the moment notable. You see, in 2011, Danny was diagnosed with an aggressive bone cancer called osteosarcoma. It caused partial paralysis of his legs and damaged nerves in his spine. Doctors didn't even know if he would ever walk again. So Danny is not just a WBA champion. He's also the first cancer survivor to win a major boxing championship. I'm thrilled to have Danny as our guest today. I want to tell you just for a minute or two about his cancer journey. Danny grew up in Brownsville, one of the toughest neighborhoods in Brooklyn, New York. It's known as the Wasteland. Having an older brother and living in Brownsville made fights a part of everyday life for him. Danny started boxing when he was 15. As an amateur, he was an alternate for the U.S. Olympic boxing team for the 2008 Beijing Olympics. He also won 4 New York Golden Gloves championships. In 2007, he officially went pro, signing with 2 of the most influential figures in boxing, Al Haymon, Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s manager, and Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions. Danny is the current WBA middleweight champion and former NABO and NABF middleweight champions. Welcome to the show today, Danny.
Oh, thanks for having me. Such a great intro. I really, really, really appreciate it. And it's such an honor and privilege to be on. Thanks for having me.
So I just want to jump in. I've got a few questions to get us started, Danny. I know that osteosarcoma is a rare bone cancer. Our listeners, you know, may not be familiar with its symptoms. We're going to go maybe, back in time a little bit to see what led to your diagnosis. But, you know, I have a good friend with Parkinson's disease, and he says that a year before his symptoms were visible, his granddaughter had remarked that it took him a long time to count out some money that he was giving her. And he said to me, in hindsight, that was really for him the first sign of the disease of Parkinson's. As you look back, Danny, can you tell us about what were those first symptoms for you? What really led you to go into the doctor? Take us back to the a couple years ago when this started.
Well, see, the thing is, you know, going back 3 years when I was diagnosed, I didn't realize initially that I had cancer. You know, the symptoms were just weakness of the legs, below the waist, below my navel. I was, you know, slowly but surely being paralyzed. And it was due to the tumor that was around my spine. But I didn't know this because I was misdiagnosed by the hospital the first time I went, because they said it was a pinched nerve, you know. Mm-hmm. So the symptoms that I have as I'm, you know, as it's getting worse and I'm taking the prescription pills they're giving me to better myself, it only was getting worse. And it got mm-hmm. to a point where, you know, I couldn't walk at all, and I knew something was wrong. But I never know when it started. You know, it never appeared until it really, really got aggressive at its finishing stages. So it probably could have been for a numerous of months or even a year. I don't know, but you know, the signs were me partially getting paralyzed in my leg.
And so eventually things got so severe that you actually went to the emergency room. So what pushed you to go to the emergency room? Could you not walk? Did you fall? Did you, what really kind of pushed you to get into that sort of emergency setting?
Well, what happened was it was getting so severe that I remember the night where I was, the night before I actually went to the hospital, I was in a walker, and I made my way upstairs, but I had left my phone inside my car. And at this time, I had moved into a new place, so I hadn't had a house phone. Mm-hmm. And my godmother, she knew of my situation. And when no one could get in contact with me, because by this point, I was completely paralyzed, and I had no way to leave the house. I had no way to contact anyone. I had no way to do anything for myself. So she miraculously found where I lived, and she pleaded with the doorman to allow her to come up and to see if I was okay. And when she found me, I was crawling to open the door for her so that we can do something about it. Because at that point, it was almost life or death.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's so scary. So did you call an ambulance? Did an ambulance get you and take you to the ER?
Yeah, we called. Actually, she drove me to the neurologist. And a neurologist called the ambulance. But when I got to the neurologist, when she see my situation, she immediately called the ambulance, because she said a patient of hers had the same situation a couple years back, and that patient didn't make it. So she said we needed to have immediate surgery, and we got the emergency MRI, and they found this tremendous tumor growing around my spine.
And so you went into the emergency room, they ran the test, they found the tumor, and then what did they tell you, that they had to do surgery?
They told me that it was a massive tumor that was growing at such a rapid pace. And it was they took two MRIs 3 hours apart, or a couple hours apart, and they said that it was still growing from the photos that they had of the tumor. They said it was growing so fast, so they said they had to do an immediate, and within a couple hours, I was under the knife.
So they removed the tumor. After you came to, what did they tell you? What did they tell you they found, and what did they tell you was going to happen next, and what was the prognosis?
Well, they told me, first off, they told me that it was benign, and I think that was due to my godmother, who was my proxy. She told them that it would be too much for me mentally to know at that particular point in time that it was cancerous. So they all told me that, it was benign, and that the only thing I had to do at that point was just learn how to walk again, to go through physical therapy, and, try my best to get better from that point.
And so at what point did you find out that it was actually cancer, Danny?
I would say about 2 to 3 weeks later, after I completed my, which was a miraculously fast therapy that I had in a Metropolitan Hospital in the city. I only stayed there for about 2 weeks, and I was scheduled to stay there for a month. So, I was very blessed and fortunate to have a fast, rapid recovery. But once I got out of the hospital, I got a phone call from my doctor and my godmother, and they was explaining to me how I had to get radiation treatments. And, that was the last thing in my mind, because, here I was thinking the only thing I had to do was just get better, walk again, learn the process. And, from that point, I didn't think, it was cancerous. So when they told me, I started crying. And the first thing that came to my mind was just my son and my family, and how this could affect everyone. My grandmother, who was the closest thing to me in my life, who passed away 2 years previously to cancer, that's the first thing also that came to my mind, because I thought it was hereditary. I thought I could possibly pass it down to my children. So it was a sad point for me to figure out that I had cancer.
And so what were the next steps really from there, Danny? You were going through the rehabilitation. Now they told you actually had to have radiation. You had to have treatment. Was your condition really continuing to improve at that point? You know, once you were getting to the point where you were starting radiation, you said you got quickly through the physical therapy. Were you feeling good in your mind? Were you saying, yep, going to get better, getting back to boxing, and that's that?
Well, I remember having a roundtable meeting with all the doctors and physicians, and they said that it was probably the possibly not possible for me to ever box again. And after having them tell me that, you know, that completely switched my whole mind frame around. At one point, initially, when they told me, I was completely sad. You know, I thought my life was in my career and everything I've worked so hard for, you know, just completely went away in the blink of an eye. Until I started getting the courage, and as I started to progress in therapy, I started to see that there was a chance. And, you know, eventually I started to believe one day I'll be able to do the things I love to do, and I'll be able to walk properly again, and I'll be able to hold my son and eventually box, which I did.
And so initially in your mind, obviously you get this news, they tell you might not even be able to walk again. So you were, I imagine at that point you were pretty much at a low, maybe the lowest of the low.
Oh, absolutely. I remember countless of nights crying inside the hospital, feeling lonely, feeling like, you know, why me? Why, how could this ever happen to me? I just felt lost, you know, having something that I worked so hard for and dedicating and sacrificing, my whole teenage, my whole life, you know, it was a low point for me because I just couldn't process in my mind how this can be possible for me not to be able to do what I love to do.
And do you remember, Danny, we've got a couple minutes until our first break here, but do you remember the time or the sort of feeling when that started to turn around, where you started to come out of that low spot and thought, gosh, you know what, maybe I am going to get back to a normal life and I'm going to be able to walk and be with my kids and maybe even box again? Do you remember feeling sort of an emotional turnaround?
Oh, absolutely. I get tingles and chills just thinking about it even now. I remember, you know, my girlfriend and my godmother and everyone close to me at that point when I was just starting to learn how to walk again. Everyone was so scared and they would try to help me, but, you know, just the champion and the fighter inside me, I wanted to do it by myself. You know, I was like, no, guys, you know, you have to leave me alone. Let me do this by myself. And I remember my first two steps. You know, and that was the happiest I've been in such a long time. And, you know, my two steps turned into four steps, and four steps turned into eight, and then so on and so forth. And, you know, for me, that was the greatest feeling that I've had at that point, you know, going through that whole horrible time. And, you know, it was that started the whole process of me knowing that I can take control of my destiny.
Gosh, that's really powerful stuff, Danny. We're going to take a quick break here. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. They call him the Miracle Man, Danny Jacobs. We're talking to Danny today about his experience with osteosarcoma. Frankly, doctors weren't even sure Danny was going to walk again. He had paralysis in his legs, damage to the nerves in his spine. Danny recovered, went on. Now he's the WBA middleweight champion. It's an amazing story of a triumph of the human spirit, an amazing story of victory, and really that power and that strength from within that can really translate into major changes in somebody's life. We've got a lot more that we want to talk about with Danny, so don't go away. We're just getting started. We'll be right back.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355. or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
People living with breast cancer often find it difficult to ask for help, and many of the people in their lives want to help but don't know how. During National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Cancer Support Community is proud to support Meal Train, sponsored by Magnolia, which utilizes MealTrain.com, a free shared online calendar to streamline the process of giving and receiving meals for families coping with breast cancer. Help us reach our goal of 1,000 new breast cancer-specific meal trains this October. To learn more, visit MealTrain.com/MMT and enter the code MAGNOLIAB, or visit us at cancersupportcommunity.org.
Cancer, it's a lonely word. Terms I don't understand. Choices I never thought I'd have to make. But there is hope and help.
Support from cancer survivors.
Links to research and clinical trials.
Help with finances and access to care.
All behind you at Breakaway from Cancer, created by Amgen to empower cancer patients.
The Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Breakaway from Cancer.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's episode is being brought to you in part by Celgene and Eisai. I'm Kim Tibaldo. We're talking today to Danny Jacobs. He's the current WBA middleweight champion and a cancer survivor. In 2011, after an initial misdiagnosis, Danny was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, an aggressive form of cancer. In fact, doctors didn't even know if Danny would walk again after his surgery, after removing a large tumor. So, Danny, having finally diagnosed your condition, you said that next steps, let's just take this sequentially a little bit. Next steps, the doctors said, look, Danny, it was cancer. Now we've really got to get you into some treatment. We're going to start radiation. So tell us a little bit about that. How long did you have the radiation? Were you continuing? Could you walk at that time? Were you continuing with physical therapy at that time?
Well, by this time, 3 weeks out before I got out, after getting out the hospital, they scheduled me to go to therapy at a local therapy place that, to get better and to be able to structure my legs and be able to do it the proper way. But getting out after, maybe 2-3 sessions into doing the therapy, I felt like I learned everything they wanted me to do. So I kind of went to the gym and done my own therapy. But during that time, even still, I had to get radiation. So getting 25 counts, wasn't easy. It was a very hard time for me. What it done, it just completely turned my moods around, took my appetite away, made me feel drained. Mm-hmm. It made me feel just low. And, I didn't want anyone around me. I wasn't in the best moods, so going through the therapy was probably the hardest time. So I think I was looking for my thrill and to be happy and just to, be me. That's why I went to the gym.
So that was your home, basically. That's where you've really felt at home and the most comfortable.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, what they told me was to go to their therapy sessions, do what they wanted me to do, and, everything would be okay. But I've already heard that. It was time for me to take things into my hand and let God to allow to follow me the way, create the way for me and let me follow. And that's what I did. The gym was a safe haven for me. It was where I can be happy. It was where I had my friends and everyone who shared the passion with me. And it was a comfort. And going through the cancer and the radiation, that was my escape route.
So that was sort of like your own support group. You said, all right, I'm going to the gym. That's where my guys are. They know me. That's where I'm the most comfortable. So that's where I'm going to find really some support. And that sounds like that really uplifted you.
It really did. And that's when I realized that, you know, it's all about emotion. It's all about your drive. It's all about what you feel inside, about who you are, what you can do. Because if I would have sat back and, you know, done the things and the doctors told me to do, or if I would have allowed myself to let them tell me what I can't do as far as living my dream and one day stepping back in a ring, then I would have allowed that to overcome me, and who knows where I would have been. You know, I probably wouldn't have been able to walk again. So it's all about that determination that I had and that drive, and most importantly, the faith that I have.
And, you know, I think, Danny, because you're an athlete, you know, you're obviously very, you know, attuned to your body. You had spent all these years training, you know, and investing in that. So do you think that made the diagnosis all the more devastating, because essentially it was about being physical, right? Being physically active. I mean, do you think that if you had had, let's say, a desk job, you know, maybe the impact would have felt different for you, but because of that physicality for you is so much a part of who you are.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. You know, what boxing has done for me is given me the mental state to be strong and to overcome any obstacle that's put in front of me. You know, I train hard and I do the necessary steps I have to do to be able to overcome and have my hand raised in victory. That's how I looked at cancer. You know, I said, he's not going to take me down. I'm going to knock him out, and, you know, I'm going to knock him out for the count. So, you know, that's pretty much how I viewed it. And, you know, I was so fortunate and so blessed to be able to get better and to one day fulfill my dreams and step back into that ring. It was truly unbelievable feeling.
Danny, take me back to, let's go back before the cancer. Tell me a little bit more about your childhood and when you decided to become a boxer, and really what motivated you down that road.
Well, like you said earlier, that, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, especially the Brownsville area, which is probably one of the worst areas as far as you know, violence and just gang activities and things of that nature. So it was very rough growing up. You know, what I've seen seemed to be normal. And, you know, it wasn't until when I was about 10 years old that I got a chance to be a part of a program called the Fresh Air Fund. And that's when they take me and, you know, I went to Rhode Island and got a chance to see what life was really was about. And, you know, I got a chance to stay with a family and, you know, we did different things and I got a chance to see life. And that's what inspired me to be better. But during my journeys of growing up and trying to figure out who I wanted to be, you know, growing up in such a tough neighborhood, I was in school one day and I was almost a victim of being bullied by one of the biggest bullies in the school at that time. And I stuck up for myself. But, you know, we all got in trouble and we got home and, you know, our parents disciplined us and told us that, you know, it's not the right way to go about things. So I said, you know what? We can go to the local boxing gym and do it the right way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what we did. So we did it the right way. We went down to the gym and we settled our differences in the right way. But little did I know, I fell in love with the sport. You know, it was something that I found that I enjoyed and that kept me off the streets. And I found myself learning that if I got better, that it can allow me to travel and, you know, possibly make the Olympics team. So it was one of those things for me. Boxing was one of those things for me that was just, like I said before, my safe haven. And it took me away from all the negative things that was just around me.
And was there somebody in the boxing gym or somebody around you who saw you in the ring and said, you know what, I think this kid's really got something. You know, I think this kid could really go pro.
Yeah, it was my trainer, actually. My trainer who passed away about a year ago. He was my number one trainer from when I started to a year ago. You know, suddenly he passed away from diabetes last year. But, you know, he was the guy that saw me, saw my talents, saw a good kid with great potential, and he molded me into being a very strong, humble, and champion in and out the ring. And, you know, I credit him to a lot, as far as me being the man that I am and overcoming the things that I have in my life.
You know, Danny, you mentioned along our conversation a couple different points of family and others around you who have supported you. Can you tell us a little bit about your family? You talked about your godmother. Tell us about your kids. Tell us about that other sort of support system around you, aside from the guys in the gym and that safe haven. who else was around you that was really helping you through this?
Well, my godmother, she was probably the one who really saved my life. My girlfriend, she was there for my support system every day, you know, my mom, my son, and my dad. You know, I pretty much have a small circle, but it's a very strong circle, and it's strong enough to fill any void that we need to. You know, that support that they gave me inside the hospital was tremendous, because at points where I given up on myself, they was there to encourage me that everything would be okay and that I would be better, and that I will one day fulfill my dreams. So, you know, having my family there, having a really good support system in life in general is just amazing, because you're able to overcome so many things with people who love and truly care about you.
How old was your son when you were diagnosed?
He was 2 at the time.
Well, wow.
He was turning 3, so, you know, he didn't really understand what was going on at the time. Yeah. So his energy was so positive, because all he wanted to do was just see daddy and, you know, come to the hospital and visit. And I would, you know, ride him around in my wheelchair and things like that. So, he really put a smile on my face and lift my spirits up inside the hospital, as well as, you know, the rest of my family.
And how about your boxing team? How did they react? How did the team around you react? The guys around you react? You know, what was that like?
Well, I think initially I kind of kept it away from everyone, just because it was more important things for me, just to get better and not really let people worry or, you know, put that out there in the boxing world, because I didn't want everyone to know it at the time that I was still trying to get better. So I kind of kept it from everyone for a while until I, you know, was able to walk again. Then I broke the news to everyone. You know, everyone was sad, but very supportive. You know, they didn't know if I were able to one day box again. And, you know, everyone was, man, it was a tough time for everyone. I just remember, you know, sharing tears and sharing emotions, and everyone just being there for me. You know, it was a tough time, but we all got through it.
And do you think that it was through that cancer experience and that other kind of fight that you had to fight that drove you inside to become the WBA middleweight champion? Did cancer give you a kind of a whole nother drive to move you to that victory?
Cancer has changed me completely as a man in general. This was actually 2-3 months before I was diagnosed with cancer. I remember talking to God, and I was asking God, you know, I came across a word called meek, and God said those who are meek will inherit the earth. And I was trying to figure out what this word meant. And, you know, at that point in my life, I was young, I was up and coming, and I had all the things that I've always wanted in life. And, you know, I asked God about the word meek and what it means, and what it is just to be humbled and, you know, to really cherish life and, you know, to be respectful and appreciative of it. So I was asking God if he can show me what this means, you know, because I didn't want to be like the rest of those guys who get all the things they've always dreamed of and then completely turn around on the people who've either helped them or in general. I didn't want to be that bad guy. So I talked to God and allowed God to, you know, live through me and send me an answer. And 2-3 months later, I was diagnosed with cancer, you know, and I remember, you know, questioning how could this ever happen to me? You know, why am I diagnosed with cancer? Why am I paralyzed? How could God allow this to happen to me? Mm-hmm. And I remember laying in a hospital one day saying, you know what? This is my opportunity to show God I'm meek, to show God that no matter what's my position is, no matter what material things I have or don't have, or my physical condition, I have life. And I was grateful for just life alone. And it was such, the emotions that I had when I realized that was so overwhelming that I cried. And from that point on, I completely changed as a person. I became a better father. I became more understanding, a better son, a better friend, and a much more focused and determined man as far as my life and career goes. So, but cancer was a blessing for me.
That's I love that, Danny. I love that message. I want to get more into that. We're going to take a quick break here. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We're talking to the miracle man, Danny Jacobs. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be right back.
Hi, I'm Nick Nicolaides, President and CEO of Morphotech, and we're delighted to be a sponsor of Cancer Support Community's Frankly Speaking About Cancer series. Morphotech and its parent company, Eisai, are committed to human healthcare, and we recognize that patients and their families are the most important participants in the healthcare process. We salute our global advocacy partners who are devoted to improving the lives of people touched by cancer every day.
Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Magnolia Meals at Home, a new pilot program that aims to help patients by providing nourishing meals to households affected by breast cancer so loved ones can spend more quality time together. This program is currently available in and around two pilot cities, Andover, Massachusetts, and Woodcliffe Lake, New Jersey. Participants will receive one delivery of meals every month for up to 6 months when enrolled in the program. Each delivery includes up to 7 meals designed to help meet the nutritional needs of people living with breast cancer and 10 meals for family members. This novel program is brought to you by the Eisai Women's Oncology Program, Magnolia, Cancer Care, the Cancer Support Community, and Meals on Wheels Association of America. To find out if you or loved ones are eligible, visit online at www.magnoliameals.com. Or call 617-733-5848.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355. Or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's episode is being brought to you in part by Genentech and Morphotech. I'm Kim Tibaldo, and today I'm joined by Danny Jacobs. In 2014, Danny became the first cancer survivor to win a major world championship when he became the WBA middleweight champion. A few years earlier, Danny was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, a rare and aggressive bone cancer. It caused partial paralysis of his legs and damaged nerves in his spine. Doctors thought that the paralysis might well be permanent. Danny, I want to go back to just for a minute to the conversation we were having in the in the earlier segment. I mean, it's clear to me that that your faith also has been an important part of getting you through all this, and your relationship with God. And you've talked about that and the importance of that. Can you just elaborate on that? I mean, has that been a guiding factor for you throughout your life? Is that something that really elevated during this cancer experience? I mean, because we hear a lot of people talk about the importance of faith when they're dealing with cancer.
Absolutely. Faith is everything. I mean, I'm not really big on religion. I'm not a religious guy, but I have a very, very, very strong relationship with God. And that was my motivation. That was my leading way. You know, I felt like he led me to victory. He led me to be able to fight this thing. And I know he wasn't going to give me something I couldn't handle. You know, and faith is leading on something that you can't see. You know, it's very hard because if you can't see the destination, you know, it's not promised that you'll be successful or you'll be victorious. So you solely have to be vulnerable, and you almost have to just let everything solely rely on God. And that's what I did. I did my part, and I let God take care of the rest. And it was a remarkable outcome.
Yeah.
You know, what I was able to do, the doctors told me, was a miracle. You know, they said, what you've overcome and what you've done with the tremendous tumor growing around your spine that broke your spine. I mean, this thing broke my spine. You know, doctors were going crazy because they misdiagnosed me. They told me, you know, they said I wouldn't walk again. They told me that, and I laugh about it because I remember it so vividly. You know, they said, you know, Mr. Jacobs, I think you're going to have to look for another career because this is not going to happen for you. Mm-hmm. And when those words came inside and I heard those words, it scarred me so hard. But that was the same motivation that I had to get better. So, you know, I'm really proud of myself, and, you know, I give all the glory to the man above.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really powerful stuff. And so when the doctors told you, you know, hey, man, you might not even walk again, so forget about boxing entirely. At that moment, did you say, all right, well, I got to think about a new direction, or I got to think about this? Or did you say in your mind, yeah, right, guys, you know, I'm taking this on. I'm going to do this. So say what you're going to say, but you don't know me.
Right. Exactly. And that's, well, I think initially once he said you would not be able to box again, I think everything else from that point was like Charlie Brown. It was just like wah, 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 wah. So I didn't quite hear anything else after that point. But no, in all seriousness, I use that as motivation. You know, I knew that what they were telling me was not true, because it's like here I am, have boxed for 10 years, done it all my life, sacrificed everything that I had to become a world champion and to be this guy that I've always dreamed, and to have someone tell me that I can't be that person, or that I can't fulfill my dream. It couldn't sit well with me, and I didn't allow it to. And, you know, the determination that I had was, I really compliment myself, because it really took a lot. Even to learn how to walk again, that was the hardest part. You know, radiation was horrible, but learning how to walk again was very, very hard. You know, I was so weak, and with times where I couldn't even lift a dumbbell, you know, so I couldn't see how I would get better. But that little fire inside me allowed me to overcome.
And did you say that to your medical team? Did you say, I'm going to get back in the ring, so let's figure this out?
Yeah, and they all thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
They all thought that this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. We're going to say, yeah, we're going to smile and encourage him. But, you know, I knew that they knew. I knew in the bottom of their hearts that they knew, because it was too severe. My case was one of the worst cases they had in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So the possibilities of me getting better, let alone box again, let alone become the middleweight champion of the world, that's unheard of. So, you know, I was blessed to be able to prove everyone wrong. And I knew all along that I would be a champion one day.
So Danny, so tell us, okay, like normal, healthy guy, no cancer, right? What is the sort of so you're gearing up for a big fight. What is the sort of pre-fight training regimen? I'm just trying to outline this contrast for folks, because you're telling us you can't walk, you can't lift a dumbbell, you're in chemo, you're in radiation, take this tumor out. So take us, you know, healthy guy fighting, what's that regimen look like, so we can have that contrast?
Well, it's a very strict, I can tell you that. I remember post-cancer, the doctor, you know, they told me that I had to alter my diet, and that I had to, you know, switch up certain things, because certain foods that I was eating was feeding my cancer cells. So after switching up and, you know, almost becoming, you know, pretty much like a vegetarian and vegan, I think that's the key to being able to have ultimate and optimum health. And that helps me in my career, because as an athlete, I need to be fit, I need to be healthy, and be able to perform at an elite, you know, stay at all times. So, you know, a training segment for me when I'm training for a fight is 9 weeks of just gruesome training, you know, 10-mile runs, weightlifting, swimming, hiking mountains, you know, you name it, we're doing it. So it's pretty gruesome.
And so what was that? So what was the process for you getting through all of this surgery, radiation? I mean, you had every possible kind of cancer treatment that one could possibly have. What was the process of getting back into, you know, fighting shape? And how long did that take?
Well, I think it took about maybe a year to get back into fighting shape. You know, I told myself that if I didn't look good inside the gym and that I didn't feel 100% inside the gym, that I would never step inside that ring and risk my life or getting hurt. So at the point where we were training, I think it was important for me to just stay patient, just to let things naturally heal on their own. I didn't want to really force or rush anything. I just let things take its natural course. And luckily and fortunate for me, I was able to recover in such a rapid pace. And I remember my nerves. I remember the last stages of my nerves getting better. And it went from that little twitch that I used to have to eventually walking into a straight line. And I said, wow, you know, I'm finally there. And I would say about 3, 4, 5 months later, you know, we were fighting for the first time in almost a year and a half, 2 years.
Were there days or were there moments where you thought, oh my God, what am I thinking? I just should be happy with walking. What am I doing here?
I think it was the first time that I actually sparred which is like actual training boxing. When I got back to train in the boxing gym, and I sparred this little guy, and you know, I said I'm gonna start back slow. I'm not gonna box guys in the gym my weight because, you know, they're a little heavy-handed and I want to risk the chance. I want to start with the little guy. Maybe I'll be able to take their punches a little bit better. But this little guy, I mean, he hit me with such a hard punch. And normally it wouldn't be hard, but I hadn't taken a shot in so long, so it kind of shook me up. And we laughed about it later, but afterwards I said, hey, do I really want to be doing this again?
Now, I know you felt like you needed to tell me what sparring is, but I have to tell you, Danny, I grew up in Philly and I grew up with three brothers. So, you know, I just want you to know, I do know what sparring is. you know, Danny, you've been quoted as saying, we're coming up on a break here, but I want to ask you this question. You've been quoted as saying that being a cancer survivor gives you an edge that other fighters don't have. Describe that for me. Describe that strength deep down inside. What is that edge that you have?
For many reasons, but I'll name two. Number one is that cancer is the deadliest disease in the world, you know, and not only did I have that, but, you know, what it's done to me, you know, it almost took my life away. I've seen death straight on. You know, the doctors told me that if I hadn't come in on that Friday, if I would have waited over the weekend, I would have died because the tumor was growing at such a rapid pace and it would have slowed my heart down. So I've seen death at its door and the mental edge to be able to overcome that in the way and the magnitude that I did, it gives anyone that mental edge and anyone that ability to believe that they can accomplish anything. If I can defeat cancer, I feel like there's no man in the world that can defeat me. And that's and that stands for a lot because, you know, that shapes my mentality with any venture that I go down, whether it's, you know, boxing or something else that I want to do inside my life. You know, I will have that mental strength to be able to do it and overcome any obstacles.
And I imagine you find, Danny, and the people that you're, you know, coming across and talking to, other cancer survivors, you know, obviously for you, I mean, this is such an extraordinary story that you're able to share with the world. But, you know, I know for some other folks, it is just a matter of being able to get up, play with their children or their grandchildren, maybe walk around the dining room table and get those things done. And I imagine that you probably see for lots of folks, just even those little victories make a huge difference in the journey.
It really does. I mean, when I say I'm such the emotional guy now, like everything to me in life, I appreciate. I can walk down the street
and I can see a beautiful, the beautiful sun gazing through the clouds, through flowers, and I can be at awe and just appreciate that and be in that moment. So it's little things like that that I appreciate now. You know, walking down the mall, or walking to the mall, or jogging 5 miles when I wasn't able to walk before. You know, all these things I appreciate, and it's all due to overcoming this horrible, horrible, tremendous cancer. And you know, it was a blessing in disguise for me.
A blessing in disguise. We're talking to Danny Jacobs today, the miracle man. He is the WBA middleweight champion. He is a cancer survivor and has overcome an aggressive bone cancer called osteosarcoma. We're having an amazing conversation today. Danny's story is really so touching and so inspirational. We've got a little bit more time with Danny, a little bit more conversation. We're going to take a quick break right now, but don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355 or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
Cancer, it's a lonely word. Terms I don't understand. Choices I never thought I'd have to make. But there is hope and help.
Support from cancer survivors.
Links to research and clinical trials.
Help with finances and access to care.
All behind you at Breakaway from Cancer, created by Amgen to empower cancer patients.
The cancer support community is proud to be a partner of Breakaway from Cancer.
Hi, I'm Nick Nicolaides, President and CEO of Morphotech, and we're delighted to be a sponsor of Cancer Support Community's Frankly Speaking About Cancer series. Morphotech and its parent company, Eisai, are committed to human healthcare, and we recognize that patients and their families are the most important participants in the healthcare process. We salute our global advocacy partners who are devoted to improving the lives of people touched by cancer every day.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's episode is being brought to you in part by Millennium and Amgen. I'm Kim Tibaldo, and today we're talking with Danny Jacobs. Danny is the first ever cancer survivor to become a championship-winning boxer. So, Danny, all fighters seem to have a nickname. Robert the Ghost Guerrero was actually a guest on our show, and he talked about taking care of his wife after her cancer diagnosis. That he went, you know, spent from spending time in the boxing ring to changing diapers. you know, I know that earlier in your career they called you the Golden Child, and now they call you the Miracle Man.
Yes.
Tell us the story behind these two nicknames for you.
Well, after being cleared by the doctors and, you know, being able to box again, I went back to the fans. And after everyone knew of my story, you know, I asked the fans, what would be a great nickname for me to box again? Because I felt like I had a second start. Like, you know, it was a new beginning for me. So I wanted to be something different. You know, as far as the nickname goes, I wanted to represent just all my battles and what I've overcome. So I asked the fans,
on Facebook and on all the social networks. You know, what would be a good nickname for me? And I gave him some options, and, you know, majority of everyone said that the Miracle name is the best name, you know. And they said not only because it's deserving, but, you know, you've earned that name. You know, we're not going to give it to you. You've earned it. So my first fight back, and, you know, hearing the announcer say, the Miracle Man, Daniel Jacobs. It just, you know, it sent chills down my spine, and I remember that moment forever.
And did it feel right away when you heard it come out of his mouth? Like you?
Oh, absolutely. Hair stood up on the back of my neck and everything. It just pumped me up, too. I think I knocked the guy out that fight in maybe like 30 seconds. So that's the electricity that I got.
I love it. You know, Danny, when you climb into the ring, the world sees the tattoos of a ribbon and a bird on your chest that you chose. And they see a 5-inch scar on your back that you didn't choose. What do those images mean to you?
Well, I chose to put the tattoo of the ribbon and the bird on my left side of my upper chest because it's kind of close to my heart. And what it symbolizes is the ladybird is the nickname we gave my grandmother who raised me and, you know, who passed away a couple years from cancer. Her name was Ladybird, so we put the bird. And as far as the ribbon, you know, obviously osteosarcoma, that's the color of the ribbon. So we kind of combined the two, and that's my logo now. You know, that's what I've created. I feel like that's what represents me, and, you know, I wear it with pride. You know, that's my stripes. And I didn't want to touch my scar because my scar, for me, was an indication of how blessed I was. I want to be able to see it. I want to be able to know it's there, and I want the world to see it. You know, I remember a fan saying, you know, don't ever cover up that scar with a tattoo because, you know, that's nothing you want to do because that's not a line. That's not a scar. That's a number one sign. And when he said that to me, it just, you know, I never looked back. And that was very special that I can view it like that. And I have ever since.
Danny, you started a foundation called Get in the Ring. Tell us about that. What's the mission of the foundation?
Wow. Get in the Ring is very, very precious to me because I've always been the kind of kid and the kind of guy that, you know, love helping people and to love, especially people in my community, to be able to give back and be able to support people. You know, I get a lot of support from my family and, you know, from fans. So I've always loved to give that back. And when I had an opportunity to start a foundation, when I remember the early stages talking about it. I discussed exactly what do I want to touch, what topics do I want to touch, because I don't just want to start a foundation simply for just starting a foundation. I want to target things that are meaningful to me, so that I can be heavily involved and get the ultimate feedback, which is that feeling, you know, donating is okay, you know, giving back is okay, but that feeling you get when you help someone is only tied to having something that you love and that your heart is tied to. So what I wanted to target was three things, because three things are dear to my heart, which is obviously giving back to kids with cancer. You know, going through that battle, I knew how emotionally hard it was. Financially, it was hard. And all across the board, it was hard. So I feel like if I had the opportunity to give back to a family who's struggling or to someone who's struggling, and be able to do my part and to help someone just in a little bit, in any bitty way that I can, you know, I felt like I wanted to go that route. And the other two topics that I target is bullying. You know, I think bullying is at its all-time high now as far as in the schools, and children can kill themselves. You know, the social media is causing children to feel pressured and, you know, to not be secure of themselves. So it's at its all-time high. And as a parent as well, I felt like it was kind of important to target that because, you know, I was almost a victim. And the reason why I got into boxing because of bullying. So that's also, you know, dear to my heart. And the last but not least is obesity. You know, ever being an athlete, being health conscious, and, you know, especially now being a cancer survivor, I also have to alter my diet. So health and nutrition is my life. And I feel like if we can find a way to, you know, show children and show people all over the world just how important it is to stay healthy and to, you know, become vegetarian, become vegan, eliminate the meats and things like that that trigger and cause cancer, in my opinion. So, you know, those are the three topics that I wanted to target because those are all dear to my heart. And, you know, we're doing a pretty good job so far getting the word out and helping other people and children. And, you know, I had an opportunity last 2 weeks ago, actually. I just visited Toronto, and we had the sick kids. It was called the Rally for Kids, the Rally for Sick Kids with Cancer. And it's a tremendous, tremendous charity. What they do is they have celebrities come from all over the world, and they have these exotic cars. And, you know, we race around the city at different checkpoints to be able to, you know, raise awareness and raise money to have, you know, causes for children with cancer. So it was one of the best and greatest opportunities that I've had in such a long time because, you know, during that journey and during that time, we got a chance to visit the hospital where the actual kids that are battling the cancer were. So I got a chance to really interact with the kids and just to see them, listen to them, hear them through their stories and give them hope and, you know, share my story and possibly, you know, whatever way I can affect them and motivate them. You know, that's what I wanted to do, but to be there was truly, truly amazing. And this philanthropy road that I'm going down is, you know, I know it would make my grandmother proud. You know, that's another reason why I stand strong behind this, and I'm so very proud of it because I know my grandmother, who's a victim as well as cancer, will be standing in the clouds, you know, and in the heavens, just looking at me saying, you know, I'm proud of you, son, and you know, I couldn't see a better for you.
Wow, it's fantastic, Danny. I really want to thank you for coming on to the show today and sharing your story and taking the time to be with us. You're truly an inspiration, you know, not because you won a championship, but because you've shown us that we should fight for our dreams, for what we love, no matter the challenge or the barriers, you know, in front of us. I want to encourage everyone to check out the work of your foundation, Danny. I want to send folks to the website. I think it's getinthering.net. Is that right? Getinthering.net?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, so check that out, folks. And, you know, it's been a great conversation today. I just want to remind folks that, you know, here at the Cancer Support Community, we want to make sure that no one faces cancer alone. So if you're diagnosed with cancer, someone you love is diagnosed with cancer. If you're the family member or friend or loved one of someone diagnosed with cancer, come and can check out what we have to offer. If you visit us at www.cancersupportcommunity.org, you'll find a list of our 50 centers around the country where we're providing support groups, educational programs, nutrition, exercise, stress reduction. These services are free of charge for people with all cancers at all stage of disease and for their family members and loved ones. You can also call our helpline at 888-793-9355 if you want to speak to one of our counselors, if you're looking for on-the-phone counseling or information or referrals in your community. Give us a call at 888-793-9355. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. I'm Kim Thibodeau. And until next time, be well, do well, live well.
Thank you for joining us for Frankly Speaking About Cancer with your host, Kim Thibodeau. We're here for you every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. In the meantime, stay connected online at cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org.